You're listening to Sonologue's podcast, NRI, New and Returned Indians. In each episode, we meet someone who's recently moved to India and get their perspectives on living, working, and just being here. The good, the bad, and the fun. In this episode of New Returned Indians, we talk to activist Vivek Gilani, who moved back to India after more than a decade in the US, taking a sabbatical from working on water issues in his beloved New York. And he's pursuing his projects in Mumbai, running MumbaiVotes.com and building a carbon footprint calculator. We talked about jazz, the Mithi River, going to school here, Central Park, having a foreign attitude after you return, monsoons and mangoes. Here we go.
I'm Vivek Gilani. I'm a current resident of Bandra, Bombay, or Mumbai, as some people like to call it. And I'm currently working for a few movements that have fueled my imagination and my passion for the past few years, related to the environment and related to creating awareness of our potential to create change through voting. The websites, one of them is MumbaiVotes.com, and another one is tentatively titled NodhaiCarbon.com.
NodhaiCarbon.
Right. Carbon.com. Okay. It's got parallels with the Buddha's quest of know thyself. We believe that ultimately we all should examine every element of our life literally to get a more complete, rigorous understanding of where we are and why we are the way we are. And these are movements that I have conceived over the last few years, some with other friends, some by myself. And I'm finally working on them through my home office in Bandra. And I am here after, you can say, a gap of 13 years. But I would like to think of it as 12 discrete units of 8 months where I used to stay in America, in the United States, and in many different places. And I finally moved back for what is conventionally known as good. And I used to live in New York right before coming, in Harlem, where I was employed with a great consulting firm called Malcolm Perney as an environmental engineer, mm-hmm. where I did a lot of design and analysis work of water and wastewater treatment systems. We dealt with the water supply system of New York City, and we worked with the Department of Environmental Protection over there. And so that's what I did in New York, besides falling in love with jazz and falling in love with Central Park. I think those are the three things I did over there.
Excellent. And so what brought you back?
What brought me back was the sense of alienation in terms of activism. I felt there was an aspect of me that was lying dormant, that it was only partially mobilized through the internet, because things like Mumbai Votes, which is one of the websites I'm working on, could be started remotely and could probably be sustained to some level of intensity remotely, but there was a lack of grounding, a lack of intimacy with the actual problem area, which was Bombay. And it felt too remote and too detached.
So let me pause here to ask you, tell us what you do, the websites you run, and then tell us, did you set them up from the States or were you here already? Did you conceive of them after you came back or have they been happening for a while?
The website was conceived of while I was in New York, or probably even before that, but the actual work to get it started and get it a presence on the internet happened in New York around 2004.
All right.
And
it's MumbaiVotes.com.
It's MumbaiVotes.com, that's correct. So, yes, the initial work started off over there. However, my visits back to Bombay after that gave me other ideas. In collaboration with other friends, we chalked up plans to increase the expansiveness of the website, increase the amplitude of the voice that we are going to be making heard all over the city through Mumbai Votes, and also strategies to involve students of a journalistic background as being the foot soldiers for this website. That could only be done in Bombay, in our country, where people would understand what the purpose is. And I think that's one of the most compelling reasons to come back for Mumbai votes was this. The other movements, I felt the United States at the stage where it is in terms of its current development is almost very elitist and has gotten to the point where they are focusing obsessively on very tertiary, very cosmetic problems related to the environment, at least in terms of water and wastewater treatment. Whereas we face a more fundamental absence of hygiene, a fundamental absence of good quality of water and just in general, the quality of our environment. There are fundamental flaws in the way it is looked at, the way it is dealt with. And I felt that there is a great need for intervention in the place that I feel intimately involved with and responsible for some reason.
So you could do more from here, basically.
Exactly, right. Because I understand the place more.
Right. And so tell us briefly what your trajectory was. Did you grow up in Bombay?
Yes, I grew up in Bombay and went to a couple of ICSE schools around in Bandra and in Juhu. And then I got admitted into Jai Hind College. And it was during those years when I would travel by local train over the Mahim Creek, and I would smell that wall of, you know, just rotten eggs hitting your nose, which was actually the impetus. It was the thing that catalyzed something latent in me, which I think had been sown in me through this television show called Race to Save the Planet. Mm-hmm. It was a show that used to broadcast in on Doordarshan in, I think, late 1988, 89. Mm-hmm. So there was this aspect of me that had gotten stimulated by that show, and then all these journeys across these polluted waters of Bombay sparked something, and Jai Hind was important because of primarily the train ride. Yes, and then I wanted to get into IIT to study environmental engineering, but it was the only place that taught environmental engineering except for some obscure university. I think it was Shivaji University in Kolhapur that taught it at an undergraduate level. Those two options did not work out for whatever reasons. And so I just changed one alphabet from IIT to FIT, which is Florida Institute of Technology. Increased the fees like 8 times, which my father was surprisingly, I guess, not aware of what the implications were, but he agreed to it. And I thought I'd go learn environmental engineering in Florida.
All right. What did you do after that?
After that, I decided to pursue a master's because I did not feel very confident as an engineer at the end of my bachelor's. And I went to do my master's at University of Massachusetts in Amherst. And I spent 2 years there learning more about my craft, getting more specialized in the field of water, wastewater treatment, did a master's research project, got some experience running pilot studies, which is basically a mimicking of a water treatment plant in a small scale, mm-hmm. which then you test rigorously and try and apply all kinds of absurd ideas and see what works and what doesn't work. It's a very liberating sort of format to learn things, and it's not theoretical. To some degree it is, but you always test your ideas out empirically and see if they actually manifest themselves. And from then on, that's when the economy actually just tanked. Mm-hmm. Nothing compared to what we're witnessing now, but it was a mini slump that happened over there. And
yeah, I graduated on September 11, 2001.
Okay,
from my master's program.
So you know exactly, right. Of course, there were more implications of that incident than just the economy tanking, but I just had one job interview that actually materialized, mm-hmm. because over like three or four days, I got calls from 5 different companies in Philadelphia, etc., saying, sorry, we're not hiring anymore. So the job interview has been mm-hmm. put on hold forever. So turns out Detroit was the only place that had a job interview lined up. And so I went to Detroit, interviewed with them, and got a job with this company called Hazen and Sawyer. It was, mm-hmm. again, a small environmental engineering consulting firm.
So were you on a H-1 visa?
Yes, I was on an H-1 visa then, yeah, right. So I worked there for 2.5 years, all the while plotting and scheming how I can get to the pinnacle of human existence, I think.
I know what
New
you're
going
to say.
And finally, that happened in 2003, November. I got a job, not in New York, in New Jersey, which is ideal because I get to come home to New York every evening. And I did that. I thought I would do that for four seasons. I would see fall, winter, summer, spring, summer, etc. And I thought I would be satiated with that and I could come back home a fulfilled person. But of course I was wrong. I felt like spending more time in New York. And I spent about 4 years over there and thought that I need to now start working more fervently and more intensely on these other things.
So have you always wanted to come back while you
were there? Yes, I've been wanting to. I didn't want to go, first of all. I was very dejected when my visa was accepted. I really was. I was thrilled the first time when my visa application was rejected and I came back home just, you know, pumping the fist and all of that. But I at some level, I felt that my family does want me to go because they feel good things are going to happen. Because I used to be very anti-West when I was in my teens. I was very anti-Western music, anti-Western clothing. I was a fanatical, radical sort of nationalist.
Were you wearing khadi to college?
Not khadi to college, but I did wear those, you know, that canvas bag, the yellow bag, to Jamnabai, even to college for the first few weeks, till I realized it would be a social disaster. And I never heard English music till I think Phil Collins's song, that Another Day in Paradise, was the first English song.
Well, it's a good activist song anyway.
Right, exactly. I had all these reservations about why do we need to go to America and take their wisdom. We have so much available to us here. It was very narrow-minded, myopic, etc. But I don't know why I felt that way. And so that's why I didn't really want to go. And I always thought, okay, 4 years and I'm back. Okay, I'll do my master's. Fine, everybody says do your master's and then I'll come back. While I was doing that, everybody thought, okay, maybe I should work because I spent so much. So I said, okay, my responsibility is now pay a little bit of it back. So I worked. And all this while, I guess I had this thing about New York, which I didn't admit to myself. And I realized that there's no point in going back till I've lived in New York. And yeah, I had a 2124 number, et cetera. So.
Yeah. And where were you living? Were you in Manhattan?
Yes, I was living in Manhattan, in Harlem.
Near
St. Nick's Pub. It's a jazz haven in the Sugar Hill district of Harlem. It was called the Historical District, and I used to joke that it was historical because you travel around for a few minutes and you'll be history over there, because a lot of people have all these stories about Harlem, which none of them are true, none of them at all.
And how is it? When did you come back?
I came back in November 6th, 2007. 4 days after American Gangster was released, a film about Harlem and life in Harlem.
You watched it in the States.
Yeah, exactly right.
You're owed to Harlem, and then you left.
Right. I actually planned my return back on, you know, around that, the release of that film.
Excellent.
So, right, right.
All right. So tell us the nitty gritties of what you did with your visa status and whether that, did you not want to get a green card?
I didn't want a green card. But then I realized that if I want to continue going back to New York on my own terms without being at the mercy of being employed with my company, and I think I will want to for the rest of my life, I have a continual relationship with New York, I would want a green card, and I think my company is currently in the process of applying for it. I'm not sure where it is, but I think that application is going on.
Mm-hmm. So you haven't quit. You're here on what, a sabbatical?
My official statement of purpose that I gave to my company was that I want to start working in India, and Malcolm Perney has just established an office to start doing engineering work in India, in Pune. Mm-hmm. They have an office in Pune, but they aren't doing actual engineering work there. They are just currently in outsourcing work from the US offices to cut costs. And while they wait to get their teeth into the engineering pie over here, I am on this extended sabbatical to work on these other projects that
excellent.
I find very fulfilling.
So you're going to stay affiliated with them, but here?
Yes.
So you broached it with them and said, I'd like to go to India and help me make it happen?
How it happened was, we got a mail from our company saying, Malcolm Perney has changed its vision. We were vehemently USA-centric all this while. we feel that we need to expand our horizons to India. And this was completely unexpected for everybody. And I thought this would be a good time to approach the idea with my company, saying, I want to work for my company. I like what you'll do. I like your vision, and I like your compassion towards the environment. It's not just a money-making outfit. And I told them that I would need a break for a long while, because there's these other things I want to do. And next year, in about a year, year's time, I'll be ready for full-time conventional 9-to-5 employment. In the meantime, I can work remotely, mm-hmm. and that's what I do. I'm technically on a as-needed mm-hmm. basis.
All right. So how has it been to be back?
It's been great. It's been...
Uniformly great?
Not uniformly great. There have been moments of great ambivalence, but never any doubt about what I've done. It's always been... I've managed to always discern why I'm feeling the way I am feeling. Say if there's a sense of longing for New York. And it's primarily New York. It's not really the United States. There's mm-hmm. nothing fundamental about that nation that I missed. It's just... what New York represents to me.
Which is?
This infinite, it sounds like a cliche to some extent, but it's a place where your desires and your passions and your dreams can have an infinite journey. There is no dead end, there is no wall that it ever hits, and it reinvents itself in front of your eyes so rapidly, with such vigor and so vibrantly, that I am just in a constant state of awe, and I'm stunned by New York City. I do miss some things very specifically. One is jazz music, and not just what jazz is, but the kind of society that makes jazz happen. Mm-hmm. There's a certain degree of irreverence and a certain degree of challenging of authority in a very creative manner, which jazz represents. Jazz was always a statement against classical music, and I believe that till our society becomes that irreverent and starts challenging authority that meaningfully, jazz won't necessarily have organic roots in Bombay. It'll always be an influence that we get from the outside. Hmm. But for jazz to emerge as a strong art form in our city, I feel there are certain social prerequisites.
But maybe jazz isn't what's going to come out of our city anyway.
Maybe it's not, exactly. And the reason why I am talking about jazz is because I would like to indulge in that passion of mine in Bombay, mm-hmm. and it's just too expensive to keep going to New York for that. So
you don't say.
So it's yeah. I don't mean to impose jazz upon our city in a self-righteous manner. That hey, this is a high art form. None of that. It's just that I want to have that thing with me. Just like you want to have a favorite movies with you in your DVD library. I want to have a few jazz clubs that I can go to.
That's I want all. Real bagels.
Exactly, you want real bagels. We all have these things. And one of those things is jazz for me in New York. And another thing is the walkability of the city. It is one city that can be explored completely on foot uh-huh. in a very pleasant manner. And we talk about our city being very well connected, but it is still nowhere close to as being as synthesized, yet not homogenous. There are a lot of cities that are well synthesized, but they have this very dulling, numbing homogeneity about them. New York has this perfect mix of this very complex tapestry where how everything is woven in, but yet it's very well connected physically through its buses, through its trains, and through its avenues, where you can walk down one complete avenue and get this, cut a swathe across New York City and get this cross-sectional
view. Technically,
you
could start in Norman Point and end up, if you walk along the sea all the way up. Further, I've done part of it from Juhu.
Right.
But,
that's
no
one
sidewalk.
Avenue. Right, exactly. There's no sidewalk, and you're constantly battling traffic, and there are no fellow walkers. Everybody
walking.
There's
no sidewalk. Where the hell would you walk?
Exactly. So it's not a contemplative experience. It's almost like a battle for survival as you are trying to enjoy the sights. And that and I think the third component is Central Park and what Central Park represents. This refuge, this lung, this place to go and completely immerse yourself in the non-concrete jungle and revel in physical activities or just have this vast expanse of spaces to just lie down on the grass and read a book. Or it lacks that one cohesive place. There are these pockets around our city and I'm trying to explore them now more and more. But yet they don't allow you to escape completely from the city. You always feel that you're in the city. Whereas in Central Park, you could actually completely disengage from the anxiety of the city.
Correct. And plus, I don't imagine being able to lie down anywhere.
No, there are actually great places. In fact, one of them is in Dadar at Five Gardens. It's a great place. It's a great refuge.
Seriously?
Yeah, Five Gardens is...
Okay. In Delhi, I can think of Lodhi Garden, but even then, as a woman, I would just never go lie down under a tree and expect to not be molested.
Oh, okay. Well, Five Gardens is a Parsi colony area, so I don't know what that means, but I think they're less, you know, testosterone-driven and they're gentle people. And maybe they'll be protective because they like the area. There's a sense of pride about Five Gardens, you can see. So it's the one place that I found. Okay. There are a few others. Yeah.
So you miss jazz, you miss Central Park, you miss being able to walk around.
Yes, and I miss comedy clubs to some extent as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you like about being here? Are you living with your parents?
I'm living with my father and with a few neighbor family people. As in, I didn't have them earlier, but they are tenants now who are living in the apartment near me. And But yeah, I live with my family, and what do I like about being here? I mean, it's more intangible. It's not a few things, but it's this general sense of being integrated with the issues of here. I feel very involved, responsible, and exhilarated by the idea that I can do things that actually have an impact in the world that I see around me. I can help mold it. So
when you started Mumbai Votes and you're working on an ecological footprint calculator,
right,
those things didn't work for you in the States because you were in the States, but they were about here. What if you'd been doing something about New York or right, Detroit? Would you not have felt the same sense of connection?
Perhaps not. I don't know why. Maybe all those years I was happy being a spectator of a society that seems to have achieved a great deal of comfort in terms of taking care of its basic survival issues.
Mm-hmm.
It is a society that has moved on to more tertiary and more evolved problems of society, and you know, race relations or you know, got to do with more of human rights types of issues,
mm-hmm,
and how we deal with various disadvantaged sections of society, etc. But its fundamental problem of survival had been taken care of. There's an excellent voting system, an excellent system of disseminating information, mm-hmm, to its people. There's a lot of transparency, there's a lot of accountability. I'm not saying it's perfect, but a lot of the fundamental corrective work, remedial work that had to be done has been taken care of by the greatest generation of the 30s and 40s, and you know, when all this infrastructure was constructed and all this, the EPA was formed. And I felt I was just, you know, at the periphery of everything. I was just observing this very comfortable existence. And in a way, it was a little numbing, a little, you know, anesthetizing.
So yeah, being more participative, yes, is key for you.
Yes, exactly.
And this is where you belong.
Yes. That is primarily what really does is make me thrive and throb with excitement.
So what's been hard for you to be back here with, like, let me rephrase that. What have been the challenges for you having moved back here after so many years away?
One of the challenges has been to limit my sense of feeling responsible for everything and wanting to fight every battle that I'm encountered with.
Such as
wanting to fight corruption in the police system, such as wanting to fight the hawker rehabilitation problem, such as wanting to tackle issues of solid waste management, water problems, problems that have got to do with inequality amongst our various socioeconomic classes, and wanting to fight issues related to, or fight battles related to worker safety, where you see people dangling from buildings while working on skyscrapers, which are supposed to represent the rising, shining new India, mm-hmm, which still uses exploitative labor, and wanting to fight, you know, battles on the forefront of the identity of who does which city belong to, and so there's this tendency to feel responsible for everything, and any inaction gets construed as a rejection of a part of myself, that I could have done something and I chose to suppress it, either because I'm I'm afraid that I'm going to fail, or because I feel I don't have the infinite energy that I thought I had to fight all these battles. So sometimes it's a little hard to digest that I can't fight all these battles. So it's a little humbling, it's a little sobering, because from a distance you feel omnipotent, and when you come back and you start actually getting your fingers into the soil and start trying to mold the clay, you realize that maybe you need to focus on a few things, mm-hmm. and do them really, really well. Be very incisive, take care of them, and then move on. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily stagnate, but limit what you're doing at any given moment mm-hmm. of time. Right? That has been one of the challenges to sort of not really curb myself, but be a little more refined in my approach. And Stray dogs have certainly been one, because they affect the walkability of the city, certainly, because it becomes a jog. It's never really a walk, especially in the night. And then it becomes a sprint.
Okay, this is harking back to a conversation we had earlier where Vivek wanted to get rid of all the stray dogs by what?
By violent
means.
Yes, exactly. No, I don't have anything against stray dogs per se. It's just that it's a clash of habitat. Something closer to me, which is the lack of progressive ideas and this inertia of existence that I see in my father and in some of the family members around me, mm-hmm. who are very comfortable with the way things are and refuse to examine some of the aspects of their life which they, I think, feel need to be examined, but are reluctant to confront it, you know. And there's been a lot of that where I have this momentum in my thoughts and ideas, and I don't necessarily think it's because of me returning.
You don't think you've become sensitized to these issues because you were away?
See, that has been one of the challenges, is to try and dissect why all this desire for change has started expressing itself in me. Mm-hmm. But even before I left, to go to Florida, I was involved with this group called AYBI, Association of Youth for a Better India.
All right.
That had come to Jai Hind College once for a thalassemia awareness program. And I just liked the term, the name of the movement, Association of Youth for a Better India. And within a few months, I was completely enamored by their campaign to spread the idea of garbage segregation and creating compost from waste. So I've always wanted to just associate myself with ideas that have a meaning regardless of who came up with it or which nation gave birth to it. And I've always embraced them. So maybe it was a coincidence that I was getting stimulated, there was some awakening happening, and I happened to mm-hmm. to move away. And a lot of my family members, believe that all this change or this zeal for it has got to do with me going away. And
do they say stuff to you like that?
Yeah, people as close as my sister, they all believe that it's all, an outsider's perspective that you mm-hmm. have. And sometimes that causes some resentment that, it's seen that way. But I genuinely believe that it was, nothing is just a coincidence. Of course, that experience has changed me irreversibly. But it is not the root cause of why I'm feeling this. It mm-hmm. complemented it, maybe. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Anyway, you can't dissect it and remove it and see what it would be.
Exactly,
like
and there's no point in it. This is what it is, mm-hmm. But yes, so that has been a more profound challenge is to realize that yes, there is a reason why we are where we are as a family, as a society. But just accepting tradition or just accepting something that has been established mm-hmm. and not disturbing it or not examining it is not acceptable to me. So that necessarily causes, conflict. And but till now, it's not been hostile. It's always been based on ideas, and I think I've been able to convince other people around me to focus on the ideas that I'm talking about mm-hmm. and not really,
question your motivation or
right. Yeah.
What's been good about moving back?
The freedom to take train journeys all over the country. Mm-hmm. I love traveling by our railway system because it leads to the most enriching human interactions. I've made great bonds with people that have been part of some of the movements that I'm I'm currently involved with in railway trains in our country. And of course, great home cooked food, which I've not had for many, many years. I've been cooking my own food, but food that is created with, again, it might sound like a cliche, but with a lot of attention, a lot of love and care, is something that I have not had for many, many years. And having my father, who, you know, I can just, whenever I'm feeling like I need somebody literally physically to support me, I can just go and hug him. That has not been available to me for a long, long time. And I'm just reveling in it. And yes, I can't believe I almost forgot this. The monsoons. I've been missing the rains of Bombay for many, many years. I've never been able to come here bang in the middle of monsoon. And there's something about rains in our... I don't know if it's something that is prevalent all over the country, but certainly there's something magical about monsoons in Bombay and what it does to people and to the physical environment. It's such a purge. It's such a cleansing. And mangoes. Alfonso mangoes. I've been having horrible
That's
pulp.
That's too funny. Yes.
Yes. So this year was the first year in many, many years where I got involved in the buying process, in the decorating process, in the smelling it as it ripens process, gifting process of mangoes. And so, yeah, finally reveling in the abundance of mangoes. It's just been
magical.
Absolutely.
When people ask me why I moved back, if I'm feeling flippant, I tell them it's for the mangoes, the rain, and the samosas.
Really? Well, to some degree it might be flippant, but mangoes and rain are certainly very, very important factors. Yeah.
Are you going to be here for a bit? Do you think you'll go back to New York?
Yes, I would like to go to New York sometime before next spring for a few months and work on if my company has any project which I can contribute to, and also while ensuring that I can continue to monitor these movements remotely, which I think will be possible once it has acquired a certain critical momentum and a certain body of people have been appointed to take care of various aspects of them.
So do you think you'll just end up spending your time between the two countries? Do you want to be in New York? What do you think is the future?
I would always want a very close presence with New York, or a close relationship with New York, not in a touristy form at all. I don't know how I can have that relationship while not going there and living out of a bag. So it's a challenge to think of a format that'll facilitate that, but I'll work it out somehow. I don't really know how. One crazy idea is I would like to someday go back to New York as a jazz artist, or playing the flute or the tabla, which I play a little bit, but not even close to what you would need to be, first of all, to be accomplished in the conventional form, and then to take it to jazz heights is just something else. But I would like to be able to re-experience New York as one of those guys in Arthur's Tavern or Bar, 55 Bar, etc., and see what it's like to contribute as an artist to New York. Someday.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Good
very
luck
much.
Figuring it out.
It's my pleasure, and it's been great chatting with you, Chevy. Thank you.
You've been listening to Sonologue's podcast, NRI, New and Returned Indians, where everyone's a Desi. Keep us bookmarked for future episodes. And if you have questions you want addressed by someone who's just moved here, drop us a mail at info@sonologue.com. That's info, INFO, at sonologue, SONOLOGUE.com.